Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Nicole Thomas, Vice President of Information Services for McKinney Flavelle. Today is June 30th, 2021, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast. Now, today, I am taking over the mic, so to speak, taking over for Mike, so to speak, in his absence. And I have with me our very own Eric Thornton, Commodity Specialist for McKinney Flavelle. How's it going, Eric?
I'm doing well, Nicole. How are you today?
Well, you know, like we were talking about this morning, I've been very excited about today.
A lot of anticipation.
Lots of anticipation. I don't think in my career there's been a more anticipated acreage report that I can recall anyway. And I felt so good until 12 o'clock Eastern time. Yeah, I went from yay to, oh no. We'll get into what that meant for corn and soybeans and ultimately the markets today, if anyone's been under a rock and hasn't had a chance to check that out or on vacation. And in that case, maybe you should just wait until you get back. But let's kick it off with the less intimidating figures, the wheat side of things. So what did we get, Eric?
Yeah, so, you know, surprisingly, wheat did come up with a little bit of a shakeup here, as analyst expectations were for a slight reduction in total acres from the 46.4 million as of the March 31st planting intentions down to a industry trade guess somewhere near 46 million acres. You know, not drastic, but definitely more people were factoring in that, hey, we could see wheat lose acres, obviously, to corn and soy, you know, very similar to what was forecasted even as of the March 31st report. Lo and behold, defying expectations again, wheat acreage actually went up a little bit. So we are up marginally and expected to plant and harvest somewhere close to 46.7 million acres. So it's up, you know, again, marginally, just over 300,000 acres total. Mm-hmm. And winter wheat acres actually took the increase here by rising almost 600,000 acres to 33.7 million total acres of winter wheat. So that's up 11% versus 2020. So sizable jump there year over year. And the state with the most notable increase was that in Kansas, where we went up from 6.6 million acres in 2020 to now 7.3 million acres this year. So, you know, we were forecasting even in our Friday podcast, Nicole, that, you know, I had felt and many did feel that spring wheat acres had a chance to decrease. Mm-hmm. And that did materialize, albeit just marginally. We only lost 100,000 acres, falling from 11.7 to 11.6 million total acres. So not drastically, but again, just emphasizing the dire condition right now in the Northern Plains weather-wise and the poor conditions for spring wheat. We really needed to stay very close to that 11.7 million number and not lose much. So we didn't lose much there, about 100,000 acres lost. And, you know, overall, I'd say from an acreage standpoint, the report was actually slightly bearish for wheat, but looking over at the quarterly stocks numbers, you could consider this slightly bullish. So we were a little bit lower than trade guess, where stocks were reported as of June 1st at 844 million bushels in storage, where again, the average trade guess was somewhere closer to 861 million bushels. So probably seeing more of that wheat for feed demand increasing and taking down those stocks numbers lower than what was anticipated. But price reaction, you know, took off and went upward very quickly, and really not as much related to wheat as it was what happened over in corn and soybeans. So with that said, Nicole, what happened over there?
I'm tired of being the bearer of bad news, Eric. I swear, I feel like for the last year, maybe a little less than a year, every time I get on this platform, I send people into the weekend depressed. And unfortunately, Well, from a buyer standpoint, anyway. If you're a seller, this was probably phenomenal news. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to do that again. So, yeah, we didn't, you know, at one point there were projections early on of 96 million acres. And I thought, yeah, that's going to be really, really hard to pull. I don't, you know, we'd have to take acres from so many different crops to make that happen. That's probably, you know, out of the realm of possibility. But the trade guess of around 94, a little less than 94 million acres seemed attainable. So when we got our report this morning and found out that farmers planted 92.7 million acres, that obviously was extremely bullish to the market. You know, pretty much, I was going to say at the time of the writing, but pretty much it's been up, up, up. And December corn futures closed up 40 cents a bushel at 588.5. So we're getting right back to the levels we were a few weeks ago before we saw a lot of the speculative selling. And of course, you know, this doesn't make anyone feel super comfortable about the production scenario, as you alluded to, with what we have happening with the weather, particularly in the upper Midwest. Now, why that's concerning? For many reasons, but one of the main ones is that North and South Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa together are responsible for about a third of total acreage this year. So if we have issues there, that obviously could be impactful to yield and ultimately impactful to production and subsequently ending stocks going into 21-22. Or at the end of 21-22, and the carry in for 21-22 is pretty low as well. So we don't really have a lot of room for error in the balance sheet. So seeing a number come in that low obviously was a little concerning, very concerning for the market, and that was reflected in prices. And you know, from a stocks standpoint, we were actually pretty close to analyst expectations. Those were at 4.11 billion bushels as of June 1st. That's down about 18% from 2020. Not really surprising to anybody based off of the strength and recovering demand experience we're starting to experience here in 2021. And our third quarter disappearance overall was up about 21% from 2020. So certainly indicative of the strong demand we've seen this year. The other interesting thing about those numbers was the look at how much of the crop remains in the hands of farmers versus elevators, processors, commercial users in general.
Right.
So we saw that number at about 1.744 billion. And that was about 42% of the total. That was a little over 4.1 billion bushels. So for perspective, that compares to last year when the amount of corn on the farm at that point was about 57%. So looks like, you know, farmers have taken a look at these elevated prices for corn, good values they have not seen in many, many years, and decided to take that opportunity to market some of that grain. And from the standpoint of the processors, I'm sure they're happy to have it. Now, as far as soy is concerned, that also came in well below analyst expectations. Actually, it was about 1.5 million acres lower at 87.6 million, 5% increase over 2021.
No change.
You know, yeah, exactly. I mean, we, to even really begin to make a dent in the sort of fixing the balance sheets, so to speak, watching stocks come up a bit, we would have needed at least 89, preferably 90 million acres. So obviously this number being as low as it is was alarming to the market as well. And they responded with pushing futures up for the November contract about 86.5 cents a bushel. I don't know if that's a record. We should look that up because that That was pretty amazing. But that puts November soybeans just under $14 a bushel. Really? At this point. Right. And similar scenario is what we saw with corn. The Dakotas, Minnesota, Iowa, in that case, they're a little more than a third of the total acreage, about 35%. So, you know, this hot and dry weather forecast potentially for the remainder of the summer, particularly in that section of the grain belt, means that we're going to see some upward volatility this summer. We were kind of hoping that maybe seasonally we were coming down, especially after some of the liquidations of the last few weeks. But that may not be the case as it stands with this very, very bullish acreage number. And then in terms of stocks, again, trade was close to the actual number, 767 million bushels. Third quarter disappearance of almost 3.6 billion bushels, up about 21% from 2020. And sort of similar dynamic in terms of that breakdown between on-farm and off-farm stocks. In this case, on-farm, we got about 220 million bushels. That's about 29% of the total stocks. And that is down from 45% last year. So again, farmers certainly taking the opportunity to market what's left in the bins to capitalize on stronger futures. So bottom line is, you know, as we've talked about on this podcast and to clients and in our weekly write-ups that we highly recommend people check out because there's really good information in there on IQ. Everything needed to go right. And we started making this case back in January when we knew plantings were going to be late for corn in Brazil. And thus far, Eric, it feels like everything's gone wrong.
Right. Yep.
So we're kind of losing that opportunity to push lower, particularly for corn, getting back towards $5. And I was thinking about this, Eric. So, you know, in my mind, I'm like, surely producers are looking at the balance sheet, see how tight things are, watching prices, seeing how elevated they've been. Why plant less? And so I did a little math. Imagine that, actually, utilizing something from school. So I did a little math and I said, okay, 177 bushels per acre. If you planted 1,500 acres and managed to sell those for $5 a bushel, you come out at, you know, a little under 1.33 million as the total revenue.
Gotcha. Yep.
If you did the same thing, but instead, well, if you got the same yield and you did that with 1,000 acres and you got $8 corn, you'd be at 1.4.
There you go.
So I don't know. Maybe maybe there was an element of all this that our entire industry sort of overlooked.
Right.
But that's what we got. So
yeah, seems like 4th of July fireworks came a little earlier this year, Nicole.
They did. They absolutely did. Big boom. Mm-hmm. I think folks rather watch, you know, the typical display than right. Experience this though. So yeah, now that Eric and I have adequately depressed you going into the not into the weekend for once. Yay, you've got a few more days to calm down.
Right.
But thank you, Eric, for your comments on the wheat side. And just a reminder, you can get a look at the balance sheets, demand dynamics, and much, much more for grains and oil seeds via our IQ platform. All the analysis is there at your fingertips. But that otherwise is going to wrap up our weekly Hot Commodity Podcast. I want to thank everyone, as always, for listening in. And as Mike would say if he were here, live with an attitude of gratitude. Until next time, please take care.
Bye-bye.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.